I remember watching a video secretly recorded on March 17, 2014, of a shipment of gifts sent to China. The video begins with two suitcases, not especially large, sitting on the floor of a semi-darkened room in a house somewhere in China. There is a young woman kneeling on the floor, unzipping first one suitcase and then the other. And as she unzips the last, you realize that there are other people in the room with her, for you begin to hear male and female voices oohing and aahing as the last case is opened. Several rush forward, jostling for space to receive the gift, and it kind of reminded me of feeding goldfish. You know, when you take breadcrumbs and you toss them on the water and the hungry goldfish swarm the bread, roiling the water in excitement, they swim over and around each other, quickly gobbling up the bread as soon as it hits the water. That's what it was like to watch the group of Chinese citizens on the secretly recorded video. They were rushing so quickly, so eager for the gift, that the video becomes hard to make out at this point, and their bodies are a blur in the low light. Several step up and cry out, holding the small object, clasping it to their chest, tenderly like a newborn or a toddler. Others bring it to their lips and kiss it, tears streaming down their faces. Others stand and silently weep for joy at receiving the precious gift. New Testament scholar Margaret Amer describes a similar scene at the first Pentecost in Jerusalem, 40 days after the resurrection. She writes, "Without a clear understanding of who these people were, it is possible to miss what is actually going on when the Jesus followers receive the Holy Spirit." So you may be wondering what was going on with that gift in that home in China, and I promise I'll fill you in, but let's go back in time to another house in the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago when a very diverse group of people were given another gift. We're in the upper room on the first Pentecost day, and here are all the disciples, men and women, young and old, unnamed and faithful followers of Jesus, all of whom comprise the entire first Christian community. There are about 120 people in the room, and since it's not a very big room, everyone is jostling one another for a good spot to see and to hear what's going on. It's a cacophony of dialects and languages and nations and peoples roiling the air with sound, like this morning with the reading from Acts. These are immigrants from all over the Roman Empire. In the north, from Britannia and the land of the Caledonians, to the Danube and the Elbe rivers upon which the Germanic tribes depend for trade and transport, to the Romans speaking Latin. From the east, we hear the languages of the Euphrates in what we today know as Iran, Iraq, and the Caucasus region of Armenia. Egyptian and Arabic voices would have been heard, as well as murmurings in the desert dialects of the Sahara and of Casablanca. All are subjects of Rome, and all know Greek, the language of soldiers and traders, and so most are multilingual. Amer continues, rather than requiring of all of the people to speak one language, Pentecost gives power to the band of Jesus followers to speak the language of the world, to tell the gospel in every language. The early church was to bear witness to the ends of the earth in the languages of the people of the world. Peter, in today's reading from the Acts of Apostles, is showing us that Pentecost marks the end of one reign, that of Rome, and the beginning of another, the reign of God accomplished with the guidance and presence and gift of the Holy Spirit. Which brings me back to the gifts in that darkened room in the home in China. The first words spoken in the video are by a young woman wearing a pink shirt. "This is what we needed the most," she says tearfully. Another woman on the other side of the room echoes her, "This is what we needed," her voice trailing off as she kisses her gift. The secret video closes in silence as the camera pans the room, showing everyone unwrapping the plastic that encloses their gift. Can anyone guess what those gifts were? They were a Bible. They were given Bibles. The words of Jesus translated 80 generations after his death and resurrection. 80 generations, and it has the power to bring people to tears. In that upper room and in darkened rooms all over the globe, and in this room today, God is doing a new thing that has the power to transform the lives of all who are present, and then far beyond us in time and place. Kate Huey describes Pentecost in a way that felt pretty relevant to me in this step of our journey. She writes, "Here at the dawn of a new era, on the birthday of a church called to spread to the ends of the earth, the display is for everyone. Not just the disciples gathered in a room, getting themselves together after Jesus is once again departed. Not just the holiest or the most faithful or the most learned. Not just the believers or just those who are with Jesus on the road as witnesses of his resurrection. No, in this case, past this moment, all flesh, male and female, young and old, slave and free, are invited and included. And not just invited, but expected to prophesy and dream too. For you are my beloved ones. And in the days and weeks to come, many voices will speak of dreams and visions. To paraphrase Huey, as you dream and vision together, may you become even more impassioned, eloquent spokespersons for the gift of new life, the beginning of a brand new era in which God is fulfilling promises and salvation is drawing near." So as the Holy Spirit did that first Pentecost day 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem and a little over 2 years ago in China, God still speaks through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And she will speak to each one of you and through each one of you of a new day with new realities and challenges. The same Spirit that drew 120 souls to the first Pentecost and 30 Chinese souls to Christianity 2 years ago calls you and I out into the world, shaping us into a greater community that refocuses our hearts and minds on what the good news means today, while honoring the contributions of the generations that have gone before us. Now is the time for our young to dream dreams and our old to see visions. I wish I could understand what he was saying. God is speaking today, and you can almost feel the wind pulling the folks together from all corners of the known world, and then propelling them back out to share the good news, like the Spirit breathing life into the new church. The harvest festival of Pentecost, which came to remember the giving of the law at Sinai, now marks the giving of new life and the gift of the church, a new way of living for those who would follow Jesus in every land and in every age. And not just some kinds of people, but all different kinds of people, in all different places and different languages and customs, different cultures and backgrounds and experiences, abilities and gender and races and orientation, all different kinds of people, all beloved of God and filled with God's Spirit, a new creation just as it could and ought to be.